You're listening to JerryPark.com, the Coliseum of Combat Sports.
Tonight, HGNet Fights presents Ring of Combat 18 live from the Tropicana Casino and Resort in Atlantic City, New Jersey. And the main event on the card features light heavyweight battle between Alex Andrade and today's JerryPark.com guest, Christoph Shoshinsky. Christoph, my man, what's going on?
Just laying here in the hotel room, relaxing, getting ready for this big fight, big opportunity for me. So just chilling out.
This is the first time that you're appearing on a Ring of Combat show. What's been the experience like for you thus far?
So far, so good. They've treated us well. My first time. This is my fifth fight on the East Coast. I'm our fourth fight on the East Coast. So I fought at the Trap Taj Mahal before and stuff. So I fought in this area before. The crowd and the fans are great. So I'm really excited about it.
Now your opponent, Alex Andrade. He is. You look at his record and it's like, okay, he's had less than 10 fights or actually 10 fights on his resume. But this is a guy who's been around for a long time, took a long layoff between 2001 and 2007. He's actually fought in the UFC and Pride. What do you know about him? And more importantly, what are you expecting tonight from him?
Exactly. He's a veteran of the sport. He's been around, pretty much back, 10 years ago. So very well experienced, fought some tough guys, fought in Pride, like you said, fought in the UFC. I know I have some friends in my camp that I train with that actually have seen him fight and I've seen him train, and I know some of his coaches and stuff, so they're able to give me a few pointers on him. He said that he's got a really heavy right hand. He's got a good ground and pound, So, I'm expecting him to come out banging first and try to take me down, and if that happens, I have my own an agenda for the fight. I know what I'm going to do, and then going to keep it on my feet, and if I have to, and then defend really well when he's taking me down, and try to stand up and knock him out.
Now, the last time we saw you competing was at the HGNet Fights Reckless Abandon show in December. That was in Dallas. That was your first time fighting for HGNet Fights. One of the weirdest bouts that I've ever seen in my life, and I'm sure you as well. That whole Robert Viegas incident, and in case people don't know, he kept flopping down to the ground and afterwards said that he had injured his leg. What was your take on the situation? I was sitting cage side for that bout and didn't really look like he was injured at all. And I'm not calling, I'm not calling into question whether or not the legitimacy of his injury was true, but it just seemed a bit strange, the whole incident. What was your take on it?
Exactly. I agree with you. I really am not sure what the reasons were during the fight. At least I had no idea what was going on. I look like those phantom punches that were dropping him for some reason. And especially that last one, I just took out my jab out there. Next, he flops down and the fight is over. So yeah, but actually after the fight, I talked to him and he went to the doctor and checked out and he actually broke his foot. As I finally checked one of his inside leg kicks, I checked it with my knee. I fed him the knee, and he kicked me right in the knee, and he broke his bone in his foot.
Wow.
That's the reason why he was flopping, because he could not withstand the pain that he was standing on. So that was the reason why he was doing all the flopping. He was trying to see if I'll come down to the ground with him and then work, and he was going to try to work his submissions. Because I sat down with him for about 10, 15 minutes after the party and stuff. We just hung out a little bit and talked, and he was limping really badly. He went to the doctor, had it taped up. I had to go get a cast on the next day back home. So he broke his foot on my knee.
So when you're talking to him afterwards, I mean, you got the whole story, everything's cleared up, no bad blood between you guys, because it seemed as though you were kind of pissed off while the whole thing was going down in the cage.
Absolutely. I never have bad blood against anybody that I fought. We always hang out after, grab a beer or something, or just relax and to talk about the fight and stuff. He was very nervous. It was his first big fight. I sensed that right away as soon as actually we were walking out together. So I knew I was going to win the fight immediately as soon as I saw the look on his face, because he was nervous. We took the elevator up a couple times the day before, and I've just seen how nervous he was on his face and stuff. I even told him, just relax, it's a fight. It's like you're going to war. You're not going to, when it's not a life or death situation or anything like that. We're going to a fight. So I knew right away what's going to, the fight was in the bag for myself. But, Yeah, it was, you know, I was just a little disappointed of the way the fight ended. You know, it was live on HDNet and big opportunity, and then here it is. You know, I win because the ref has to stop the fight because the fight doesn't want to continue. But once I got the gist of it, what happened, you know, everything was fine.
So that said, I mean, did anyone from HDNet, you know, go up to you afterwards and say, don't worry about it, you'll be back? I don't know what kind of a deal do you have with HDNet, but you always want to make a good impression, and then this happens.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you. It seems like every time I fight on national television or something, like the one before this, I fought Mike Kyle in what was at the time the biggest MMA event in California. It was the very first one. I think it was a Strike Force card, the very first Strike Force card. And I get 1 minute in, I get poked in the eye, and the fight gets continued, and I'm being booed by 20,000 people almost, like crazy, because I can't continue because I have to go to the hospital, get my eye checked out. But, HDNet right away offered me this fight immediately. Actually, it was that night or the day after. They offered me this fight with Alex, and we accepted right away. So, you know, they understand where I'm coming from. They see me fight on IFL. They know that I'm an exciting fighter and that I always put on 100% every time I go in there. So, there was no hard feelings between me and HGH, HDNet, and then they knew I'll be back, and we're back. So, very excited.
What kind of deal do you have with HDNet right now?
To be honest with you, I'm not really sure. Ryan Parsons, my manager, takes care of all that. I just train with Team Quest and fight, and you know, train with Dan and train with Terry Sokuju and all those guys, and wherever Ryan Parsons tells me where the fight is, that's where I go. So I'm not really too concerned about what the deal is or anything like that.
But they're the ones who sort of booked you on this card. It was in Ring of Combat, right?
Yes, HNet's the one that booked me on this card. Yes, that's correct. Because I was supposed to fight for them the February 15th fight. It was their next card.
Uh-huh.
And then they canceled it. And then I put this fight on this card. So I'm not even sure if it's Ring of Combat that's paying me or if it's HNet that's paying me. I have no idea how all that works.
As long as someone's paying you, you're good with it.
Exactly. As long as the check's being handed to me after the fight and with my win bonus, everything's good.
Right. And sort of along those same lines, I mean, you fought in the IFL, as you said, Strikeforce, TKO as well. I mean, you're the top dog in the light heavyweight division there. What is your situation with those guys, IFL and TKO specifically?
Well, with TKO, I had a five-fight deal with TKO, and I'm still on the contract with them for one more fight. But because I'm fighting in the States right now, as long as I don't fight anywhere else in Canada, I am fine with them. But they want me to back sometime this year, which I will most likely fight for them sometime this year, probably. Because right now I'm the heavyweight TKO champion. Mm-hmm. I am going down to 205, so maybe I'll ask to fight for the 205 title and fight there for that title in Canada. That's one of the best organizations in Canada. You get about 8,000-9,000 people per show, and it's a great organization to fight for. I really enjoy what they've how they treated me out there. And as far as IFL, I had a great time fighting for the IFL. And I guess I had a falling out with my coach at the time, Sean Tompkins, and he decided to, who was the coach of the Anacondas, he decided to find another 205er for his team, and we decided to pursue, you know, other options as far as HDNet and whoever else.
Are you willing to talk about what happened between you and Sean?
It was more of the fact that, he didn't want to stay in Temecula, and I did, and he decided to go to Las Vegas, and, you know, we kind of went our separate ways. I decided to go to stay in Temecula and train there, and he took his whole team out to Las Vegas, and, you know, that's how it all kind of started, and, you know, that's kind of his history.
And so how has the experience in Temecula been for you fighting with Team Quest? Like you mentioned, some of the best MMA fighters are over there, Dan Henderson, Sokuju, all those guys. You know, thus far, I'm guessing, given their reputation, it's been pretty positive for you.
Oh, absolutely. It's been a really positive experience for me. Not only am I a fighter there, I'm also one of the instructors at the Team Quest facility, training facility. I teach beginner classes in kickboxing, MMA, and fitness classes, things like that. So I'm very, very happy being there. You know, get to train with some of the best fighters. They're always constantly bringing in fighters from around the world. Like we just had a bunch of French fighters helping out Dan for his fight, French strikers, Cyril, what's his last name? Diabati? That's what it is, Diabati. Cyril Diabati, K-1 fighter. Peter Graham, K-1 fighter. I mean, the list goes on and on of the fighters that you're bringing in. Some of the best wrestlers in the States are coming through our camp all the time. So improving all my skills in all the areas every day is just amazing.
Well, since you were so close to Dan, leading up to his bout against Anderson Silva, what is your take now a week later as to his performance in the fight?
He had a great first round, exactly what the game plan was. You know, staying close, step always to the right side, make sure that his right foot is outside Anderson's left, and he was doing really well in the first round. And he told me, I just talked to him actually yesterday, he's actually going to be in my corner for this fight, and he told me yesterday that he got caught with an uppercut that kind of shook him up a little bit, and then he had to scramble up. He found himself on his back and a couple strikes from the back area there that kind of shook him up, and got tapped out. So he's disappointed, but it's part of the sport, right? You win some and you lose some. It's just how you come back from this and how you focus on your next fight is what makes you a great fighter. So we'll see what happens.
Do you have any insight as to whether or not he's going to stay at 185 or go back up to 205?
To be honest with you, I have no idea what his plans are as far as that. It's him. I have no idea what his deal is with the UFC, anything like that. We don't talk about things like that. We just hang out, have a good time, rather than train together, than talk about politics and all that stuff that goes on.
How important is it for you to have a guy like him in your corner? I mean, a lot of MMA fights, if you look at the statistics, will never even ever go past the first round, and you're a guy who loves to stand and bang, and that is, very often could be the case, despite the fact that you'll never actually go into the into your corner, between a round one or round two.
Yeah.
Is it still very important to have a guy like him, a veteran like him, in your corner, in the hours leading up to the fight?
Oh, absolutely. He's, Dan's been training since he was, 9 years old, and he's always been in combat sports. He's done this for so many years ago. Look at his record, 40 fights almost. It's always good to have a veteran like that in your corner who can calm you down a little bit, who can talk you through some of the things that are going on in your head. And just, is it right before the fight, everything's a mental game. The physical thing was over pretty much 5 days ago when the last training day happened, and now you're relaxed, and now everything's all about mental game. And his mental game is absolutely unbelievable. He's so relaxed back there, and so he can calm you down, especially those fighters who are more greener than others. He's always there calming you down, telling you what to do. You always hear his voice in your corner during the round telling you, what he sees, because he's, such a veteran of the sport. He knows about the takedown. He knows about the hands. He knows about the ground game. So it's definitely really good to have guys like that in your corner, for sure.
I want to talk to you a bit about your pro wrestling career. We cover the world of the wacky world of pro wrestling at Jerry Park. You're even using some wrestling terms there, like green and whatnot. You were trained by Don Callis, right?
Yes, I was trained by Don Callis and the famous Tony Condello of the Northern Tour. So if you ever talk to any of the Canadian wrestlers who've known Tony Condello, who've taken them up to the Northern Tours, where you're sitting in a van for 2 weeks straight going through these native communities and putting on shows every day, driving on the frozen lakes of Manitoba. It's a scariest experience of your life, let's put it that way.
Sounds like a wild time. So how far did you go ahead in your career in wrestling? I mean,
I wrestled for 2.5 years all across Canada. I've wrestled with some, like, King Kong Bundy, Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I wrestled with Sabu. I wrestled against some of the TNA stars. For me, the problem was I had all the size, I had the look, I just did not have that charisma that you see these guys, the million-dollar guys who are making that money. I didn't, who are in WWE, have that charisma. That's the one thing that was missing with me. I wasn't very good on the mic. Those are the skills that were missing for me. And I met Bat News Brown one day in Calgary. I was at his training camp for 2 weeks. He showed me an armbar, an Americana, and a Kimura, and I got hooked. I quit wrestling right away, went back to Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, where I lived at. I took up my first jiu-jitsu class, and then 6 months later, I had my first MMA fight, and the rest, as they say, is history.
It's an amazing story, because obviously everyone knows about Bad News is his great career in the world of judo, and you hear all stories. I mean, I'm sure he didn't get the name Bad News for nothing, kind of like this grumpy man. But was he really like that, or was he different outside of the ring?
No, he was known as one of the toughest dudes in professional wrestling, as far as, you know, I mean, he even called out Andre the Giant for a fight one time. I heard a story from Tony Condello about him calling out Andre the Giant to a fight one time. That's how he was a mean, bad man. Like, he was probably one of the toughest at the time when he was wrestling in the 80s, as far as, you know, if you want to mess with bad news, you don't want to mess with bad news, because he'll kick your ass, that kind of guy. So, but as far as outside of the ring, as far as me, when I was training with him, he was the nicest guy ever, showed me so many things. He was great to work with. I had a great time with him.
Did you ever get a chance or to even get an opportunity to speak with anyone in WWE or WCW? Or I think TNA was in its infancy when you were kind of getting out of wrestling. But anything, any opportunities like that to talk to the big boys, or were you really not?
Everything was pretty much done through Don Callis and Tony Condello. They were going to sign me with some of the other smaller organizations that the WWF takes the fighters from at the time.
Right.
There was that one organization I can't remember.
OVW?
OVW, that was going to be my next step, to go there for a training camp and see if I can maybe, you know, get my foot in the door that way. But before that happened, I was already hooked on the jiu-jitsu stuff, and I just said, okay, guys, I'm sorry. I'm going to be done with wrestling. I'm going to focus on some of this new stuff that I learned at the age of 26.
Yeah.
I took my first ever mixed martial arts, you know, class at the age of 26 before. I've never even punched anybody in the face before. So it was a whole new experience for me, but I really loved it and enjoyed it. And, you know, like I said, I'm doing pretty well for myself.
Yeah, absolutely. Is it safe to say that you're done with the wrestling business now?
Yes, absolutely. You never know what's going to happen in the future, right?
Right.
You never know who can call and what can happen. But as far as now, my focus is on my fighting career. I'm very happy where I am. You know, I'm one of the fortunate fighters who actually makes a living fighting. You know, I've only been in the sport for 5 years, and there's not too many guys who've been in the sport for 5 years that can say, hey, you know, I'm making a living fighting. So I'm very blessed, very fortunate with how far I've come along, and the people I've met along the way who've helped me out. I've always surrounded myself with great people. And my ultimate goal is to own my own school one day. So maybe a Team Quest school, or maybe my own personal school. So we'll see how that goes.
When you first came into the MMA world, did you feel any backlash from other fighters, knowing your background in the world of pro wrestling? Like, oh, this, you know, everyone's like, oh, wrestling's fake, this and that. Or were you surprised that there's really a lot of similarities between the two worlds?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, no. I never felt any backlash at all from anybody. But not too many people knew that I was a wrestler at the time anyways either. I just remember that the wrestling was a lot harder than MMA. I have never been more beaten up after a wrestling match or during training for wrestling than I ever was in MMA. It was absolutely insane, the stuff that wrestlers go through and how often they do it. They do this every day, on and on, every day for 365 days a year. We fight, what, 4 or 5 times a year. So, you know, even though it is scripted and people know whatever, what's going on, but the moves themselves, you know, I mean, you get dropped on the floor 15, 20 times in a match, you're going to feel it, and you're going to be bruising, and you're going to be sore, and you're going to be tired, and you're going to have some broken bones and damages. So, I've been to both worlds, and I know what to expect from both worlds, and you know, they both have some similarities, and you know, but I still think wrestling was absolutely insane.
All right, so I got to ask you, obviously you've heard of Brock Lesnar, and he's probably the biggest star to make the move from the world of wrestling to MMA. And even a few weeks back, Sam Kaplan, the great MMA writer, 5OuncesOfPain.com, was talking about who he would like to see Lesnar fight next. And obviously we know now that Lesnar is going to be fighting Mark Coleman, excuse me. But would you ever be interested in getting into the octagon with Brock, a battle of wrestlers moving into the world of MMA?
If I was a heavyweight, I have no problem fighting anybody there. Anybody puts me up against. If I was a heavyweight back in the day, when I was 265 pounds, 250 pounds, I would have no problem stepping in the ring with Brock Lesnar and fighting him. That's no problem. I fight anybody. It doesn't matter. You know, Brock Lesnar is Brock Lesnar. He's a big dude, big strong dude. But as you've seen, strength against the technique will win all the time. So, you know, Brock just has to go back and then learn a little bit more about the jiu-jitsu game, the wrestling game, and the stand-up game, and you know, he'll do great.
Any talks with the UFC lately about potentially fighting for them soon?
No, like I said, I leave everything to Ryan Parsons. He takes care of all that. I would love to fight for the UFC just like I would love to fight with Dreams, just like I would love to fight with Strikeforce, just like I would love to fight with Ring of Combat or anybody else. HDNet fights, I'll fight anywhere, anybody, whoever they want me to, as long as, you know, as long as they want me, I'll be there.
After tonight's fight, do you have some sort of sense as to where, when you'll be fighting next, or has it all been on tonight?
Actually, I know where I'm fighting next. I do promote my own shows back home in Canada, actually. They're called Ultimate Cage Wars. We're having our 11th show April 11th, and I'm going to be fighting on that show. So I have a lot of home local fans that want to see me fight. They haven't seen me fight in my own hometown in about 4 years now. So they've been asking me, Christoph, come on, fight in your hometown, find somebody that you can fight. And I did that. So we're gonna be fighting in our hometown.
Any opponent lined up yet?
Just working on that right now. I'm just kind of focused on this fight first, and then I'll have 5 weeks to kind of find an opponent, and then I'll probably be a local Canadian fighter. Our shows are mostly Canadian fighters, making sure that we're always bringing up young talent from Canada. And, you know, States is, you know, so solid with fighters and stuff, so we're trying to build up our Canadian fighters, and so I'll find an opponent probably within a week.
All right, Christoph. Well, good luck tonight against Alex Andrade. Again, it's on HGNet Fights, Ring of Combat 18. You'll be fighting in the main event in what expects to be a very entertaining light heavyweight battle. It's always great to be talking to guys who used to be in the wrestling world, now in the MMA world. You are my favorite fighters out there, just because I feel like we have this connection, because you get it. You understand why.
Yes, I get it. I understand it exactly. 100%. I understand.
Well, best of luck to you,
and
we'll speak to you soon, all right?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Ariel. I greatly appreciate it.